Susan, thank you for another good children's message. One of these Sundays, I have a feeling I'm just going to stand up and say what she said, and then I'll be able to sit back down. The messages are always wonderful. But let us hear now the message from Scripture, starting with part of Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. Speaking of the gift that Christ gives through the Spirit, Paul writes, "The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knitted together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." Our gospel reading today comes from Mark's gospel. Very soon after Jesus' baptism, he had gone out in public ministry and John got arrested, and we read that now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending their nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As we think of birds we might like to be, often we might think of eagles, or at least think of the bird, if not the football team. They look very striking in flight, majestic. But the truth of the matter is, if you want to go for distance, look to the geese. The sight of geese flying in formation is a sign stretched across the sky by the Lord of creation. And it is a fitting sign that geese in a V shape for this Sunday of ordination and installation. Not that I'm trying to imply that any of our new officers either waddle or honk, but I want you to think about the V formation in which geese fly, because that formation is not just for appearance sake. The downbeat of the lead goose's wings provides an upward push on the air to the rear and to the side, and that updraft catches the wings of the next and helps lift that goose up, and their wing beats do the same for those behind them. If you watch a V of geese flying, the wing beats are sequential because each goose's flight helps those in the rear. As a result of this, Gooseologists, or whatever you call bird scientists who study geese, Lissaman and Schallenberger have tested the aerodynamic efficiency of flight formation, and according to computer models, 25 geese in formation have a theoretical range increase of 71% compared to that of a lone bird. And that doesn't count the tailwind. The V of the geese is a group that's formed around a purpose. And most groups get formed around a purpose. The geese's purpose is migration, and in today's gospel, Jesus gathered a group whose purpose was to preach and show that the kingdom of God was at hand, and he called a group of disciples to help. Simply being a group is one thing, but there's no doubt that having structure to a group gives a group greater efficiency. Geese have their V shape. Churches have a formation, structure, and focus that helps them fly farther than churches that are simply a group or merely Sunday collections of individuals. On this day when we will elect officers, I suggest that deacons, session, work groups, presbytery, synod, and general assembly are all part of a formation of support that allows us all to do more in the name of Christ than anyone could do alone. The formations in which we live as a church allow us to fly further into the love of Jesus Christ, further into the service of that same loving Lord. So no wonder Paul talks about improving aerodynamics in Ephesians, although he calls it upbuilding one another in love. We don't have a random formation any more than geese do. In effect, our formation as a church, the body of Christ, takes its shape from the gospel story we share and the shape of Christ among us. And that is what leaders, the elders in particular, are called to reveal to the church. They help display the shape of Christ among us. They are to discern and see and then communicate the will of Christ to the people more than they are to communicate the will of the people to Christ. It is laid out in Scripture and spoken for our time and place in this structure of elected elders and deacons. Now, it's a big job to serve Christ, and no member, no elder, no deacon, no minister could do it alone. As Paul said, it is the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament, which grows and builds itself up in love as each does its part. Let's take another lesson from geese and from Paul's letter to Ephesus. Paul had brought the fullness of Christian baptism to the church at Ephesus, and that fullness resulted in the giving of the spiritual gifts, which the letter tells us are to be used for upbuilding and strengthening the body as a whole. They aren't there just to adorn an individual. And so too geese actually use and appreciate the efforts of others. If you watch them long enough, you'll see the lead goose slip to the side and fall back into the line of geese as another becomes the lead goose. It's called whiffling, because geese have found out that leadership that is shared is leadership that does not burn out. And so we rotate leadership on the session and the deacons, because all we do as a church, as a body of Christ, depends on people stepping forward to help. When churches act like geese and allow gifts of members to come forward in their turn, we all do things better. Because no one or two people could carry on a worship program, a music program, a soup kitchen, a golf outing, deacons program, or membership care, or even just sit through session meetings. It takes teams of people that are able to switch out from event to event. If I asked what you knew about geese, sooner or later somebody would talk about all that honking that geese do. And we know that all birds make sounds. In fact, the red-eyed vireo is known as the preacher bird because of its monotonous repetition of the same phrases 22,000 times a day. But that's enough about the red-eyed vireo. Let's talk about geese. Geese honk. And they honk from behind, in effect, behind the leader. And that might be a problem, because who in a church is not familiar with honking from behind? These examples are drawn from just about every church I've ever served. Honk, I want the old hymns. Honk, I want the newer songs. Honk, that's not the way we've done it before. Honk, why don't we try something new? Honk, I'm upset by what was done 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, or 5 years ago. Honk. It's said that wherever two or three gather in a parking lot after a church meeting, there will be honking. But let me tell you, that's not the godly honking. That is the honking of Satan's geese. And it's not the kind of honking that migrating geese do. It's been shown that they honk to keep in touch, to encourage each other. It's their form of the First Press newsletter, and it's equivalent to complimenting, thanking, and encouraging one another. They honk to help stay in formation, to help the ones who have fallen behind find their way back to the flock, or to hold them together in foggy days. The same way we offer words of comfort and support to help one another, and we are to tell again and again the good news of the gospel to help people find their way back to the flock of the faithful. Geese watch their path along yearly migration routes. They adapt to changing landscape. If a former pond is paved over, they land elsewhere. They adjust to changes in the world. And so too church leaders here and elsewhere need to keep their eyes both on Christ's mission and see what is happening in the world and where the church needs to adapt for the future. That gloomy Danish theologian Soren Kierkegaard told of a flock of geese to whom a distinguished gander preached, and every Sunday the sermon was essentially the same. We have a glorious destiny, a noble purpose for which our Creator made us, to fly to distant pastures. And every time the Creator's name was mentioned, the geese curtsied and ganders bowed their head, but they never flew and waddled their way between church and barnyard. Week after week, they all waddled home, only to meet the next Sunday and waddle home again. Kierkegaard continues, "Let us sing while the late goose waddles in. Let us pray while the fattened goose dozes. Oh, the Gray Feathers Auxiliary will have a silver tea on Tuesday to buy new cushions for the pews, receive the right claw of fellowship, and waddle away home." And that is as far as they got. The geese thrived and grew fat, plump, and delicious, and at Michaelmas they were eaten. And that is as far as they ever got, wrote Kierkegaard. How many times have we heard or read something and said, "I've got to work on that, I've got to change," and then a few weeks or months later, we look at our lives and find that nothing has happened. and we are still waddling home. We hope things will continue well, but we always have to remember that our future may be built on the past, but it will never copy it. And one sign of waddling in churches is the effort to remember the future and imagine the past is better than it really was. So let's not be waddling geese. The most important thing to remember is that Jesus promised to go before us and be with us always. No matter where we go or how long our migration of faith, our mortal leaders will switch off and change, but it is our risen Lord who will always be in the lead. The wings of His Spirit provide ongoing lift for our efforts. His voice is calling, encouraging, and leading us. Even our leaders, past, present, and future, have in front of them the Lord whose wings provide the downbeat for the upbeat of our lives. Amen.